hands, I would just say that the first two hymns have been chosen by Andrew. May we be enabled to commence this service then with hymn number one on the hymn sheet. Awake my soul in joyful lays, and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from me, his loving kindness, oh how free.
Thank you. read from the book of the Psalms, reading Psalm 65, 66 and 67. The book of the Psalms, reading Psalm 65, 66 and 67. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honour of his name. Make his praise glorious. Sound to God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But God verily hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Gracious and eternal God, we come to thee and look to thee at this hour. Here is the pathway thyself didst walk when upon earth, which thou didst say, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Lord, here is one before us this night, made willing, made ready, prepared to walk in this solemn and sacred pathway. A sweet confession, Lord, of thy work in his soul, separation from this world that lies in wickedness, of a hope in thy love and mercy and blood. We pray for our dear brother here, that he may know as he passes through these waters that peace which flows from thee alone. Lord, as we look to this grave, buried with Christ in baptism, raised with him to newness of life. So, dear Lord, here in the figure, while he knows peace, oh, may he and each one of us know that peace in the actual hour and article of death. We must go down into that solemn Jordan. Lord, we feel the solemnity of this ordinance as it speaks to us of our hope in Christ. But one day, having passed through the waters of Jordan, we shall be with him forever. Dear Lord, we think of those this night as this ordinance is before us. They were on the verge of Jordan. Thy dear beloved servant, Mr. Wood, commend him into thy dear hands. In this hour, as he passes from time into eternity, Lord, look down. These are solemn and sacred things. And Lord, they are all bound together. Thy blessed work in our hearts and the fruit of it. Lord, that thou hast come to teach and to bless our dear brother in his young days. Lord, we pray for him. Today would give him grace as he walks through this pathway to go on in life and have that grace to walk worthily of thee. For Lord, there lies ahead of him a conflict. Thou hast brought him through much. We have watched over him affectionately and seen the great floods, the waters, the fire that thou hast caused him to pass through. But Lord, has raised him up, and we felt thou wouldst raise him up. And now, Lord, we come to this hour when thou hast healed him in soul. And, Lord, we consider our immortal souls and how solemn it is that one day body and soul must inevitably be separated. But, oh, to be healed and know that precious blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin and iniquity. Then, Lord, indeed, the promise will be fulfilled in us. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is afar off. And Lord, thou hast favoured this church and people. We have watched. We cannot but watch that thou hast done and art doing. And Lord, we believe there is much here in the midst that has yet to be brought to fruition. Gracious God, we know that thy work is a perfect work, a finished work. And oh, we pray that our dear brother here, as he steps down into these waters, may be the forerunner of others who shall feel this divine constraint to honour thee in the paths of obedience. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And gracious God, we pray, grace may be given. The drawing influence of thy spirit, thy love known in the heart. For love constraineth.
Lord, we pray that our better constraint may be known here, and that this church may be built up, that it may be built up in the house of prayer, and there may be manifest the work of thy Spirit. Lord, what we ask here, we ask throughout the churches. We live in solemn days. Thou hast undoubtedly a controversy with us. Thy Spirit is much withheld. We see many turn from Zion's way. But Lord, we believe thou hast a remnant whom thou hast eternally loved. Gracious God, many of us have long passed the allotted span of life. Oh, it is our heart's desire to see a generation raised up. We remember thy servants here in the congregation this night. Gracious God, be with them each in all their weakness, their fears and temptations, their great needs. The Lord, thou knowest, they stand up in thy house in utter dependence upon thyself. There's much to discourage, much to cast down. But, O gracious God, grant them fruit to their labour. We read in thy holy word, the husbandman hath long patience and waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And dear Lord, we pray for that fruit in the churches, that it may be manifested, that there may be raised up around us a following generation. We thank thee, Lord, once again, for those servants of thine that thou hast recently sent into the ministry of thy holy word. Lord, we pray thou wouldst send others. Oh, lay that burden, we pray thee, in the hearts of those whom thou hast loved in eternity past, as thou didst Jeremiah. And grant, gracious God, they may be raised up another generation of thy servants who have dipped their foot in the oil of the gospel and shall be made acceptable to the brethren. Lord, we commend those who rest in our heart in this solemn matter. The day which hasten the day when thou would show them to Zion. And that thou hast come and work by thy Spirit, that there may be granted in the hearts of many a clear-cut separation under divine commandment from the things of this world, as this ordinance typifies, that which is left behind and the life that lies before. Forgetting, says thy dear apostle, the things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Gracious God, remember thy one Zion upon this congregation here tonight. Thou knowest the exercises that lie in the heart. They're not unknown to thee. Thou knowest what there is being waited for and has long been waited for. O grant that it may be known, that there may be a healing of soul, and that there may be a constraint, a knowledge of Christ in the heart, a knowledge of his atoning love and blood. And grant, gracious God, that as there is joy among the angels of God over one sinner that repented, so in the church of God in this earth there may be that joy that thou hast given in this church here over one sinner that repented. Lord, work. We pray thou wouldst raise up the following generation, establish them in the truth. May they grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus their Lord. Dear Lord, have mercy upon us in the churches. Oh, return and come once again. Grant, gracious God, there may be an outpouring of thy Spirit upon the foolishness of preaching, and thy holy name shall have all the honour and the glory. Lord, the seed is sown by thy servant. We pray for those who labour often in this pulpit, that it may be the work of thy Spirit through the foolishness of preaching, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Lord, thou dost work. Thou hast work. We know that work in our own lives and hearts. Oh, we would find our rest in thyself, Lord Jesus Christ. Find our peace. And know that peace. Walk in the sweetness of that peace. In the exercise of faith. Anchored in thyself. Trusting in thee. Resting in thee. And know the peace of God in our hearts. That passeth all understanding. Draw near to us now then this night. And as we come to this solemn ordinance. Oh, may we know that peace. May our dear brother know it. May there, Lord, be a knowledge of thyself. For Lord, it was said that it could be seen that they had been with Jesus. And oh, we pray, gracious God, that that might be true of us. Now, Lord, we commit all into thy dear hands and seek that thou wouldst make thyself known in thy house this night, that thy will may be done in earth as it is in heaven, that thy promise may be fulfilled. I will work, and who shall let it? That thy holy name might have all the honour and the glory, as we would seek now, Lord, that thou wouldst touch our lips, the live coal from off thy heavenly altar, and once again fill our earthen vessel as we attempt to open up thy holy word. Grant the anointing, unction, and dew of thy Spirit. Apply thy word in the heart with divine power. We ask these mercies, the pardon and forgiveness of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 2 on the hymn sheet. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing. Praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King.
Direct your attention this evening to the Psalm 66 and reading verse 16. Psalm 66 and reading verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. This is the culmination of the divine purposes and work of God in the souls of his dear people. And there lies behind this verse an eternal covenant ordered in all things and sure. There lies behind this verse Calvary's cross, where the eternal Son of God came into this world to die for his dear church, and of which he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And that divine purpose is fulfilled by God himself in time through the work of his Holy Spirit, when those whom he has eternally loved are brought to Christ and are brought to know him. This dear psalmist, in these three psalms, the sweet psalmist of Israel, is speaking here out of his own experience. He's speaking here from the depths of his soul, those things that he has tasted, those things that he's handled, as John the Divine says, of the good word of life. And this is the culmination of it, a confession, the coming to speak. The scriptures say that the lips of the dumb shall be opened, and they are opened. There is a time and a place when the Lord himself works in love and mercy by his Spirit and grants to his dear people that deliverance of which they have long waited for. And when he does speak, and when he does liberate, and when he does grant that peace, speaking blood in the soul, then it cannot be held secretly. It has to be openly confessed. Again and again in Scripture, we read of those who are brought to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and to speak well of him. And one mercy that I feel lies here in our meeting together tonight is this: to be given grace to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. We have seen those who come in all late life, great age, even to the age of 80, I've seen them. Their life is nearly over. But oh, how blessed when there is given that divine grace to come in the youth of life and to be brought here to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the psalmist in these psalms which we have read speaks of the things that he has tasted, of his own experience. I would declare, he says, what the Lord hath done for my soul. Well, we look at these psalms, we can see what he's done. And I looked at these three psalms If you look at the 65th Psalm, he speaks there of prayer heard and answered. O thou that hearest prayer. It is the very beginning when the Lord, as he did in the case of his dear servant, the Apostle Paul, behold, he prayeth. He had prayed many times as a Pharisee, but now he came to his knees in sincerity and truth. Behold, he prayeth. And I know our dear brother here, our dear young brother here, has been brought to cry to his God in the path the Lord has called him to walk through, and knows what that wrestling prayer is. And it will be something that he and all of us need to do exercise in the fear of God, in the tribulations of life's pathway that will sweep over us and do sweep over us and have swept over us, that in them we have looked to him in our weakness and wrestled with him to give us that divine strength. And so we read, O thou that hearest prayer. Then he speaks in this same psalm of his knowledge of the evils of his heart. What a work of God that is, when God, the Holy Spirit, sends those arrows of conviction into the soul, and there is a knowledge of sin, and a poor sinner trembles under it, under the weight of guilt and sin, and feels at times that the Lord would cut him off and cut him down. But there's a blessed divine purpose in this. Oh, when we're brought to have a sight of ourselves, as we spoke on the past Sabbath, the bride in the Song of Solomon. I'm black, she said, black as the tents of Kedar. Then the psalmist David here speaks of these sins, iniquities, he says, prevail against us. But as for our transgressions, what a beautiful expression, thou shalt purge them away. You see, there are two things there. One is to be brought to ourselves to know our sins, like the poor prodigal was, when he came to himself. Have you come to yourself? Have iniquities prevailed against you? Do you mourn and groan under your sins? Iniquities prevail against us. But, says the psalmist, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Here is the second thing. And I believe our dear brother has known this. And entered into the sweetness of the words of the apostle. There's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That dear woman, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I that speak unto thee. And he said to her, he revealed himself to her. Her sins were purged away. Look into your soul tonight. You who are gathered here, young and old, I leave not the young out. Oh, what do you know? Do you know your sins? Are you waiting to know your pardon? Have you known pardon? Have you known something of this precious blood of Christ? It is a strong word. The psalmist used it in the 51st Psalm after his great sin of adultery. And he said this, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was the plant used in the old economy to sprinkle the blood. Purge me with hyssop, the blood of Christ. Is that your cry tonight? Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He speaks of both things, sin in the conviction of it, confession in his soul, coming to his Redeemer, pleading his precious blood, and knowing in the power of it his sins purged away, and entering in to the peace of God which passes all understanding. You see, these waters before us tonight speak of death. I remember when I went down into these waters 52 years ago, standing at the head of that pool, having known sharp arrows of fear in my heart, but at that moment, utter peace. And I remember in my soul saying inwardly, Lord, if this is death, I desire no more. To be found at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To know that cleansing blood upon heart and conscience, dear Mr. Wood, tonight is on the edge of eternity. Going down into these waters, he's not expected to live more than the night. But the dear man of God, I believe, knows now the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And he's washed and cleansed in that fountain many times as he performed this sacred ordinance. But now he passes into the river himself. But not alone with his Redeemer. Sacred things these are tonight, you know. One generation is passing away and another is taking its place. And we watch it. Cannot but watch it. In all its sacred awe and wonder that the Lord is working and has sacredly said, I will work. And who shall let it? And he is gathering his dear church to himself. Then the apostle speaks of those things which he has tasted and those things which the Lord has done for his soul. And he says this in this psalm. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Oh, what a sacred subject that is, chosen. As dear Robert Murray McChain says, not for good in me, call it out from wrath to flee. The Lord has chosen his dear church in Christ. It is the work of grace in the soul that brings a poor sinner to bow down under that sacred doctrine of election. To see in it his only hope of heaven, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, given to him by his dear Father. I pray, he said, not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me. For all thine are mine and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. So says dear David, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. It is as chosen in Christ, in that eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure, that his dear people are called by the Spirit out of nature's darkness into God's marvellous light. Called, says the hymn writer, and called by grace divine. Look into your souls tonight, you who are gathered here. Where, when, how did he call you? I spoke to the young people here in the Sunday school. The Lord works in youth. I spoke of a case of one at a church meeting, a young man who came before the church, and I was in the chair, and I began with him when he was 6. Samuel was but a child when the Lord began with him. It is the same vital work. Ye must be born again. It is to be called out of nature's darkness. Blessed, oh what a word it is, how divinely favoured, we cannot measure it in its extent and magnitude, the rich blessing of being called of God. I've said this here this weekend. When the Lord dealt with Nicodemus, he was one of his dear chosen people whom he knew would take his dear body to the tomb. And he dealt with him, teaching him the truth. Ye must be born again. Teaching him that wonderful truth. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Causest. It's a divine power that causes a soul to approach unto God. And you see, when we come to the church meeting, as our dear brother has to stand before the church, it's not how much we say. It's something so different to that. It's what we say. One word, as all the eunuchs said in the desert, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And what a blessed word that was. What doth hinder me, he said, to be baptized? Dost thou believe, said Philip, with all thine heart? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Why? That he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Sweet expressions, you know. Dwell in his courts, among his living family, loved and beloved. The blessed place to dwell in. To dwell amongst the living family of God. Read in scripture. They went to their own company. And I say to you tonight, where is your company? Is it amongst the Lord's family? Is it amongst his people? Are your companions there? No age barriers in this blessed company. Young and old unite together. And I have noticed in my life, and experienced it in my life, that often it is the young, taught by the Spirit, who have a sweet union with God's aged people. There are some gone to glory now. I think of them tonight. Dear saints of God, whom I loved, often I said very little to them, but I felt such a deep love to them. And in my heart there lies the memory of the just which is blessed. They're never forgotten. As I heard the late Mr. Tyler say once at a funeral, he said, the church militant and the church triumphant are one in Christ. There is no division between them. Only time. And he went on to add this. They may be much closer than we think they are. The church on earth and the church in heaven are one in Christ. They have been blessed on earth. And they have been taken to glory to be with Christ where he is. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Well, there are those of you here tonight who I know are not satisfied. You are waiting. You are longing. Here is a promise. They shall be satisfied. What is the goodness of God's house? It is his voice through the lips of his sent servants applying his truth in the heart, the benefits of his death on Calvary's cross. I believe there are some of you here tonight would long to hear those words from his own lips. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. To know in your own hearts that blessed truth, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Here is the mighty work of God's Spirit that I know, have no shadow of a doubt. There are those of you here tonight who long to know it, and then only, you will say with our text tonight, come and hear, all ye that fear God. These things aren't for the world. We're not to cast our pearls before swine. Remember that when you come before the church of Christ, here in this earth, you come before a body of poor sinners who have walked the way before you, are not here to judge you. They're here to savour the sweetness of the Lord's work in your heart and to feel a blessed union. This is the goodness of God's house. And I know this. There are the Lord's servants here tonight who long and wait and yearn to hear this. And peculiarly in the hearts of us older ones, we long to hear it from another generation. We have long passed the allotted span of life, and time is short with us. But it is our joy, and it is mine tonight, as I have preached in this sanctuary of God over many years now, and watched and waited, to see the Lord's work here. I think this night of the Lord's servant, Mr. Ayres. Dear man of God that he was, how he would have rejoiced. He opened this church when it was shut, and he longed to see it blessed and prosper. And he watched these young ones growing up. They were in his heart, and he would have indeed rejoiced. Long gone to glory, to be with his dear Saviour, never to be forgotten in his dear loved one. But Lord, their hearts were here in this sanctuary of God. This was what he wanted, the goodness. Simple word, is it not? But oh, how blessed, the goodness of God to be manifest in this place. And the Lord has said, I will work, and who shall let it? We shall be satisfied. My dear friends, those of you who are waiting will be satisfied. The Lord will work. He comes at evening late. Our time is always ready. His is yet to come. But I feel this, and I felt it over the weekend. And I felt it with some measure of power and sweetness. The lips of the dumb shall speak. And I say it here tonight with my dear young brother. His lips were open to speak to me in his affliction. I had watched him as he grew up here over many years, and only in the last 2 years. He sat in his seat here, and I watched him prayerfully, but only in the last 2 years. And in his deep affliction, the deep waters which the Lord brought him into the very valley of the shadow of death, his dear lips were opened to speak. And the Lord's words to him in his soul, which I wrote down in my Bible, "The Lord will fight for you." This was what he had in his illness. "And he shall hold your peace." These things are precious. Here is the goodness of God manifest in the hearts of his dear people. Hath he not said? And shall he not do it? Well, tonight he's done it. He's brought him here, spared his young life, and brought him to confess his God, that he has helped him hitherto. And I would speak of two things, body and soul. Bunyan says so beautifully, "Christ died for us, body for body, and soul for soul." The Lord has raised up our dear friend in his body. But he longed, was not satisfied, until he felt the healing balm of Christ in his soul. And it was here, in this sanctuary of God, when the Lord's dear servant, Mr. Chapman, who is here tonight, preached, and he was blessed in his soul with deliverance. "Neither do I condemn thee." Oh, sweet words. To know what the Apostle Paul knew. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Thy terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea. And truly our dear brother has known what it has been for the Lord to move through terrible things in righteousness. The Lord has purposes. Here William Cowper penned that lovely hymn, "God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will." Oh, how blessed when we live to see it. And the beauty of that lovely verse, so sweet to me in my life, "The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head." The text then, "Come and hear all ye that fear God." Yes, those who are brought to fear God, his children, children of the heavenly King, will understand. And I believe in the church meeting here, it was a sweet and sacred hour as his loved ones and the members of the church listened to what he had to say. A sweet union that these ordinances of God's house, coming to the church meeting, speaking of those things that they have tasted, handled and felt, this is what John the Divine speaks of when he says, if we have fellowship with him, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I say to you who are waiting tonight, I put it to you in this way, that I believe there are those who are waiting in the congregation here. Is it your longing desire to join that fellowship? If we have fellowship with him, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us. Do you desire to join that little company? Us. From all sin. Then there will be that sweet fellowship which will never be broken. An eternal fellowship. I go on in the 66th Psalm. What the psalmist is speaking of. Come and hear. Well, we can come and hear. The psalmist speaks in verse 10, Thou, O God, hast proved me. Thou hast tried me as silver is tried. I speak of what the Lord has done for me. Has the Lord tried you, dear friend? Proved you? Put all your religion in the furnace? There's nothing to be compared to going down into the valley of the shadow of death, as our dear young brother has. And I have been there myself. There's nothing to be compared to the burning up and the proving of the work of God in our hearts. Does it stand the fire? Thou hast tried me. Thou hast proved me. And what is the Lord's will stand the fire. Gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross. When a sinner is in the bottom of the valley, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me. Thou hast proved me. God tries his own work. Satan cannot touch it. He will attempt to torment his dear people, that the Lord has a thus far and no further. And so the psalmist could speak of what the Lord had done. And he says this, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, God, hast proved me, thou hast tried me as silver is tried. And I thought on our dear friend here, thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I have been in my life through fire and through water. I walked and watched my dear young friend go through fire and through water. And now tonight, the Lord has brought him into a wealthy place. Oh, there is nothing that can possibly be compared in this world to union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing that can be compared to a knowledge of him. The Apostle Paul said in his letter to the church at Philippi that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, having fellowship with him in his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, walking the paths that he walked out. There we shall have sweet fellowship with him and know that he has loved us. And look in wonder as what the Apostle Paul said even while we were dead in sin. God commendeth his love toward us. Even while we were dead in sins, Christ died for us. And there, in the proving furnace and the fire, to walk in the paths of Christ. And one peculiar aspect lies on my spirit tonight, and that's this: weakness. And our brother has known terrible weakness. But weakness, Christ knew weakness. And Paul says in his second letter to the church at Corinth, we are weak with him. And you know, in weakness, we appreciate, as Paul did in his thorn in the flesh, which was given him, my grace. Blessed word, is it not? It's in weakness we appreciate this. My grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then, as the gracious effect of that sacred word of promise entered the heart of the apostle, it had a profound work, a change in his spirit. No longer wrestling with his God to take his weakness away, a thorn in the flesh given for life, but a word given with it. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I'm weak, then am I strong. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. Do you understand it? What a strength was in the promise God had given him. My grace is sufficient for thee. And I tell you this, when these promises are given, they're given for life. They're to be used. I believe Jacob used his promise at Bethel. I'll not leave thee. It came from Bethel. Be with thee in all places, whithersoever thou goest. Oh, I wonder this evening, God alone knows what promises there lie in your hearts tonight. But they're to be pleaded when they're given. The Lord has given them for a purpose. They're an anchor of the soul. And you can return to him as the Apostle Paul did when the Lord gave him that word, my grace is sufficient for thee. He returned and he said unto me, beautiful word, isn't it? And he said unto me, what's he said unto you? What's he given you? What's he spoken to you? I believe our dear brother here has known the promises and known the word of his God and has had to rest on them, and does indeed, I believe, tonight as he comes here in this sweet place. And when we go down finally into this Jordan of death, these waters, oh then, to be enabled to plead those exceeding great and precious promises which the Lord has given us. There we shall have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But, what a sacred but, thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. How sacred. How glorious. Broughtest us out into a wealthy place. You see, it's nothing to do with anything carnal. We hardly dare mention the word. It's something spiritual, this wealthy place. It's in our souls to be blessed with the love and blood of Christ. That is the wealthy place. It is to be brought to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. It is to feel those eternal, everlasting arms underneath. It is to know the divine approbation of your God. Oh, the blessing. Jacob at Peniel went through deep trouble as he faced eternity and went alone to wrestle with his God. But the wealthy place the Lord brought him to. I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. And he blessed him there. I believe you know when the Lord's servant Abraham took his beloved son, the child of promise, Isaac, to Mount Moriah. In the great trial of his faith, it was to be a wealthy place. He raised the knife over him. As the Apostle Paul says so sweetly in his letter to the Hebrews, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead, whereof he received him in a figure. But you know, in that blessed hour, he saw the ram caught in the thicket. And Christ said of him, Abraham saw my day and was glad. And when he came down from the mount with Isaac, the Lord Jesus drew near and said to him in blessing, I will bless thee. The blessing of God upon his dear people is the sweet power of love and mercy wrapping their soul with himself. Abraham knew it. Isaac knew it. Jacob knew it. The sweet psalmist of Israel knew it. I say to you, do you know it? I ask another question tonight. Do you long to know it? Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Is that your cry tonight? That I might know him, says Paul in his prison at Rome with death before him. The power of his resurrection, having fellowship with him, the union, being made conformable unto his death. The path he walked, the Lord Jesus, is the path all his people must follow him in. We follow him here tonight. In this sweet ordinance and then the Lord's table. Two precious ordinances. Not to be despised. Not to be neglected. Oh, I feel so solemnly in our day and generation. This neglect. But it is our prayerful desire that the Lord will constrain, draw with the bands of love to follow Christ in this pathway, in the sacred obedience. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows with my lips have uttered which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings. With the incense of rams I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Amen.
And I'll ask your friends to please remain standing after we sing the next hymn. And then we will sing the doxology on the last sheet of the hymn sheet as they come up out of the water. Let us now sing hymn number 3. Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine to endless days. I should just say, friends, that doxology is sung to Falcon Street.
Manilian brother, we have walked together in your trials and your afflictions, and now we walk together in this joy. I have waited for this day. I have loved you in Christ. And now we go down into these waters together. And I give to you tonight what my father gave to me 52 years ago, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let us go into the water together. My dear brother, Andrew John Baker, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit.